هذا المفتي عبد القادر صاحب تعمد بركاته. اهلا وسهلا ومرحبا to you on this beautiful Monday morning. May Allah Ta'ala grant you and Apa Afiyat. Allah accept all your khidmat and Allah Ta'ala forgive the ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat Mufti Sahab, the platform is yours.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum maana Salim Kareem. Ameen, ameen, ameen to all the wonderful du'as and supplications. Jazakallahu khairan to our brother Zakaria, and thank you very much to our brother Bonface. Make dua for our brother Junaid Mota, Junaid Khan. He has to undergo some procedure. Allah Jalla wala grant him shifa'i kamil ajil mustamir. Allah Jalla wala grant all those who are ill and sick complete shifa and cure. Ameen ya rabbal alameen. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher, and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings, and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Habibuna Mustafa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Today is the 2nd of Jumad al-Ula in Makkah Mukarrama, Medina Munawwara, Aqsa, Palestine, and basically 99% of the world. So alhamdulillah, today with the grace and mercy of Almighty Allah Jalla Wala, we focus on chapter 39 Surah Zumar and verses 47, 48 and 49. Hence our lesson for today is chapter 39 verse 47 as our starting point. Wallahu. And hypothetically, for argument's sake, أَنَّ لِلَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا, for those people who are the oppressors, transgressors, they committed shirk, إِنَّ الشِّرْكَ لَظُلْمٌ عَظِيمٌ. Almighty Allah states, verily ascribing somebody something to Almighty Allah is the worst form of oppression, transgression. Chapter 31, verse 13. So those who are sane and mature, and then they committed kufr, shirk, blasphemy, and idol worship and so forth and so on. So for those people, ma fil ardi jamia, hypothetically, for argument's sake, if they have all the wealth in this world, all the minerals and everything, gold, silver, platinum, whatever you, lithium, wa mislahu ma'ahu, and double that amount also, laftadaw bihi min su'il adhabi yawm al-qiyamah, they will be prepared to give it as ransom because of the horrible, terrible, evil punishment on the day of justice. But Almighty Allah taught us, they can try as much as they want to, it will not come to their avail and will not help them. See the last verse of the third supara, the third juz, surah number 3, surah Ali Imran, verse number 91. Inna allazina kafaru, verily those who are the non-Muslims, they are sane and mature, وَمَاتُوا وَهُمْ كُفَارِ, and they die in that state and condition whilst they are disbelievers. فَلَيْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْ أَحَدِهِمْ مِلْءُ الْأَرْضِ ذَهَبًا, never will it be accepted from any one of them the entire world filled with gold. وَلَوِفْتَدَى بِهِ, even if they give it as a ransom, yet it will not be accepted. أُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ, for them will be a painful, horrible punishment eternal, eternally, perpetually. وَمَا لَهُمْ مِنْ نَاصِرِينَ, and no one to assist them. Chapter 3, verse 91, the last verse of the third supara, the third juz. So here Almighty Allah is telling them, وَبَدَى لَهُمْ, and it will become apparent to them, مِنْ Allah, from Almighty Allah, مَا لَمْ يَكُونُوا يَحْتَسِبُونَ, that which they never ever expected, such punishment will come to them. وَبَدَى لَهُمْ سَيِّئَاتُ مَا كَسَبُوا. It will become apparent to them. So مَا كَسَبُ وَبَدَى لَهُمْ سَيِّئَاتُ مَا كَسَبُوا. And it will become apparent to them. مَا سَيِّئَاتُ مَا كَسَبُوا. So that is the evil what they earned, all the vices and the sins. So everything will become apparent to them. وَحَاقَ بِهِمْ. It will encircle them. مَا كَانُوا بِهِ يَسْتَهْزِئُونَ. All that what they were mocking the Muslims, they were mocking Islam, and you see the jutlas and the haramis, that they bomb our masajid, bomb the homes, and then they take selfies and they're so proud. But these are the same people who will be dispatched to hell. Human nature is this. فَإِذَا مَسَّ الْإِنسَانَ ضُرٌّ دَعَانَا. And suddenly, when it comes to a human being, any calamity and disaster, catastrophe, then he will call us, he will beg us, this sickness, this death, and so forth. ثُمَّ subsequently, إِذَا خَوَّلْنَاهُ نِعْمَةً مِنَّا. Then when we confer for him a bounty and a favor from our side, we remove the illness, the sickness, the worry, sorry, anxiety. So from our side we gave him. Call this very human being, this very ungrateful, wretched soul, what does he do? He says, إِنَّمَا أُوتِيتُهُ عَلَىٰ عِلْمٍ. That I have been given this because of my degrees, because of my knowledge, because of my know-how, instead of attributing it to Almighty Allah. هَذَا مِنْ فَضْلِ رَبِّي. هَذَا رَحْمَةُ مِنْ رَبِّي. This is the grace and mercy of Almighty Allah. He goes and attributes it to his knowledge. بَلْ هِيَ فِتْنَةٌ. Nay, it is a trial and a test. وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَهُمْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. But majority of them, they do not know. Not they do not know, they don't want to know. The whole world can see the genocide going on there in Palestine. But the Americans, the whiteys, the Europeans, European Union, none of them are prepared to apply sanctions and so forth, because they are the worst of the worst come on this earth, the super terrorists. Hence we need to name them, shame them, and nail them. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Today is the 2nd of Jumad al-Ula 1446 globally, internationally, and it is Gaza genocide day number 395. These are the news, views, interviews locally, nationally, and internationally. Thousands of people during the weekend were marching, protesting, demonstrating against Bibi, the war criminal, the butcher of Gaza, and said that Bibi must go, the harami must go. But why he doesn't want to go? Because there will be elections, he'll be found guilty, and then the next stop will be prison, but he will go, inshallah. Remember, the day will come when he will be imprisoned, and then in the year after, everlasting doom and gloom, the father's harami. Then you see, alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, in the weekend, 5 jutlas dispatched to hell. We're very happy about that. Whoever put them away, whether it is Hamas with their booby traps, or whether it is Hezbollah from Lebanon, or whether it's the Houthis of Yemen, anybody, or whether it just flips, you must remember their vehicles and so forth. So Almighty Allah is punishing them, remember that. Now they're coming to 13 months since, you must remember, 7th October and so forth and so on from last year. The Spanish king went to the place where the floods and the tsunami came, and the people humiliated him and his wife, the queen. They threw mud at them. When they had to leave there, they had mud on their faces. This is Allah. وَتُعِزُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتُذِلُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ. The people were furious and raged that you'll come so late and we have to suffer here. Allah gives honor to whomsoever he wishes. He humiliates whosoever he wishes. Trump is trumpeting away. Tuesday tomorrow is election day in America. So Trump says that the electoral system and all that year in America, and especially in certain states, it is a fraud and so forth. So there you have it from the horse's mouth. So, but he's worse than a horse. All parties, they are morons, we know that. In Iran, listen to you, all you Shias and Kuffar Shias and sympathizers. One lady, there at the Iranian Tehran University. She stripped, like you understand, to her underwear, and she started walking and that. And after that, they started, you understand, arresting her, and it became a big story. So they asked her why. He said that these ayatullahs and these people are going crazy. They got such a strict code for us and so forth. We want to lead our life. They mustn't come and tell us what we can wear, what we can't wear, and so forth. So she stripped naked in this sense, right to her underwear there in Tehran. So a shame and a disgrace for the kuffar she has. They also, our enemies, always remember that. In India, one of the actors says, we, the Hindus, will kill you. And not only kill you, we will not dump your bodies in the river, in the dams. We will dump it in your land, in your sand. And this is in front of the Chief Minister Amit Shah. Amit Shah is the right-hand man of Modi. All these are the real terrorists, our worst enemies. Therefore, what Canada said is right. Amit Shah is the guy who is the instigator that you must kill, and you must go and get rid of the people who are there, the Sikhs and so forth. Therefore, the ties between Canada and India is rock bottom because of these characters, Amit Shah and Modi and all of them. The Lebanese army is controlled by America. Who is doing the fighting? If you think the Lebanese army is fighting for Lebanon, you're mistaken. It's Hezbollah doing it. We call them Hezbollah Shaitan. They are financed by the Americans, and they will never fight Israel. Even if, you must remember, they see that civilians are being killed and so forth. Halloween celebrated in Saudi Arabia. Can you believe that? The place of Iman and Tawheed, and now they're promoting from the government level MBS and his cronies and comrades, Murtads, whole lot of them, and they're promoting Halloween. Today is the 4th of November. Tonight, tomorrow will be Guy Fawkes, you know, Guy Fawkes. So when the church, they wanted to get rid of the king, King James the First, in 1605, so that's how Guy Fawkes started. So maybe tonight, tomorrow, you will find that they are promoting that as well. All this Halloween and Diwali and Christmas and New Year and Guy Fawkes, all haram for us as Muslims. To buy fireworks, to sell fireworks, all haram in Islam. We must be very, very clear on all this. King Charles and his chameleon making millions and millions from secret properties. They just sit on their laurels and collect millions and billions, and the foolish people of Britain and England have to pay whilst they suffering themselves. The employees of BBC accuse BBC of Israeli bias, more than 100 of them. Some say 200 signed the document. And you can see it, whether it's CNN, whether it's BBC, whether it's the Western media, majority of them have that Israeli bias and so forth. The Israeli President Weizmann, so his sculpture was stolen, you must remember, from Manchester. There at the university, his sculpture was there. Some pro-Palestinian group stole it. Very good. You should put it somewhere and urinate on it. Say, this is what you all are, the presidents and prime ministers of Israel. Whole lot haramis and shaitan. So very good job they did. Anybody harms America, Israel, Kain and Mankan, whoever it is, we will support them. So UK, the Tories, the Conservative, for the first time in their history, they selected a black leader. They had Sunak. Sunak must be going there to Rwanda or India to go sit in the lap of Modi. They kicked him out and dumped him, remember that. So now they got a lady, and she's an African black lady. Let's see what she will do and so forth. In Pakistan, Maulana Salim, you know Lahore, you've been there as well. We made Eid there together, if I remember, there in the Badshahi Masjid. So nevertheless, so there you must remember, the pollution levels is so high that one of the worst in the world, they have to close the schools and everything else because it's dangerous for the students and so forth. Let's come to South African news. Those of you interested in this whole conflict, I sent it out yesterday to all the groups, and I sent it out on Telegram and so forth. Khafal laka Ronnie. So Ronnie Kessels is a Jew, but 100% supporter of Palestine. He wrote a wonderful article. Remember, the mosque is now being removed from Israel and so forth. Well done to Ronnie Kessels. Therefore, we sent it out to all. ANC, therefore, I told you 1,000 times, 100 times, never ever did I vote ANC. I don't know how you guys still vote for them. In Mpumalanga, listen to this, they built a high court in Mpumalanga. The expenses over 1 billion rand, 1.1 billion rand, and it's not for human consumption, people can't use it, nothing. There are so many flaws and that. Who is going to pay for all this? All these ANC characters there, they should dock their wages and say the people in charge of all this mess, they must pay it back to the fiscus and so forth. An absolute shame and a disgrace, you must remember that. Then hundreds of illegal miners were arrested and so forth. Everyone, they want Tatama chance, you know, find gold, do this. Zama Zama, they call them. Not Zuma Zuma, the Zama Zamas. So they are the guys, you must remember, busy underground and so forth. That is South Africa. So our program for today, inshallah al-Aziz, so will be 8:30 to 9. Mona Zaid and myself will discuss the important, significant events of the month of Jumad al-Ula, inshallah al-Aziz. 1 to 2 will be tafsir of the Noble Quran and commentary, and 2 to 2:30 will be our report back, our trip to Alberton, Mayor's Dal. So that is where we went to for Jumu'ah. Very nice, alhamdulillah, Allah accept. And then tonight, inshallah, live Q&A, that is between 8 and 10 on Radio Al-Ansar International, Sirius FM, and Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, tonight live inshallah al-Aziz between 8 and 10. So with Hafiz Wadi, inshallah. Jima Salim, let's fire up. We have inshallah 27 minutes or so for the Q&A with the help and mercy of Allah.
What is the proper ruling for a husband taking a second wife, and what are the rights for the first wife?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So for people who want to take a second wife and so forth, you should think very, very carefully. Almighty Allah Jalla Wala informed us in the Noble Quran, chapter number 4, Surah Nisa, verse number 3, فَإِنْ خِفْتُمْ أَلَّا تَعْدِلُوا فَوَاحِدَةً. So if you fear you can't do justice with your 2, 3, 4 wives, then you must be stay with your first wife only. All this gold. So that is our advice. Today, if you take 100, 1,000, whatever you want, so just 100 to make it easy for the percentage, then 80, 85, 90% of our Muslims, the husbands who have 2, 3, 4 wives, they're not doing justice. So Islam has allowed it that you have plurality of wives, 2, 3, 4, but it's not carte blanche. You must remember it is conditional. You must have the financial means, the physical means, you must do justice and so forth and so on. So that's one side of the story. Second one, this Mota, this person, Muslim husband, is married. Now he gets busy in an illicit relationship with his secretary, with his neighbor, with some woman, you understood, somebody's daughter, sometimes somebody else's wife also. Allah forbid. And then when he's caught offside, he says, no, I want to practice on the sunnah and I want to make a second wife and so forth. If you slept with that lady, then you have committed adultery. For you is the death penalty. Never mind you getting married in the true Islamic state and country, which we don't have today. For you, oh brother, there will be the death penalty because of your adultery. Whether the male or female commits adultery, then is death penalty. And if it is fornication, one party is not married, for example, the male is married, she is not married, then for her is 100 lashes in public. As enshrined in the Noble Quran, chapter 24, verse 2, فَجْلِدُوا كُلَّ وَاحِدٍ مِّنْهُمَا مِيَةَ جَلْدًا. Surah Nur, verse 2, give both of them 100 lashes. وَلَا تَأْخُذْكُمْ بِهِمَا رَأْفَةٌ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ. Don't show them any compassion and mercy in the deen of Almighty Allah Jalla Wala. 2. I related this yesterday. I'll repeat it now again. And you know that sometimes the husband gets married secretly. And then the wife doesn't know. The children don't know. 6 months, 8, 9 months pass. 1 year passes. Then all the hell breaks loose. So now everything gets exposed. So this is a true story. So when the wife heard about it, she confronted the husband. Then he admitted. And she could just not accept it. Because everything he did was haram. Remember, secretly. And there was no permission from her father, the second wife, to her father, and they just did everything, clandestine activities, cloak and dagger business. So now the daughter, 14, 15, 16 years old, just, you know, in the teens, then she would see her biological father, mother fighting daily, arguing, disputing. So she got so frustrated, she used to go to the bathroom or wherever, and she would take the blade, the razor, and cut herself. See what you are doing to your own children. You're shattering their confidence and so forth, just that you can park your rifle somewhere else and so forth and so on. So guys like you who had an affair and then you want to get married, for you is a death penalty, you must remember that. So then you come tell me about you want to revive the sunnah. An-ni'matu la tanalu bil mahzur. Al-Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah, the genius, taught us that the bounty and favors of Allah can never be obtained via haram means. And that's exactly what happens today in so many instances and so forth. Therefore, our fatwa is this, that secret nikahs are not valid in Islam, where the girl just gets married, they meet in a hotel, they meet in the varsity, they meet in a parking lot, get two witnesses and say, I am marrying you and this is the mahar, and she says, I'm accepting, or she says, I'm marrying you, the boy says, I'm accepting, and they have two witnesses and then they get busy. So that type of nikah is not valid. The hadith is authentic in Tirmidhi, Abu Dawood, Ibn Majah, Mishkat, Musnad Ahmad. La nikaha illa bi waliyin. Nikah is not valid except with the consent of the guardian, the girl's father, biological father, or dada, paternal grandfather, or her brother, and somebody who is elderly, not some 5-7 year old lighty and so forth. So we need to understand holistically what Islam is teaching us.
Mufti Sahib, on the same topic, can a woman make a condition at the time of her nikah that her husband cannot take a second wife?
One day, Sayyida Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha, the Sahib Zadi, the Ladli, the beloved of Mustafa, Habibuna, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was very upset. She heard Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala and wants to marry Jamila while he is married to Sayyida Fatima radiallahu anha. Who is Jamila? Jamila is the daughter of Abu Jahl. Abu Jahl was already dispatched to Jahannam and the Hellfire. But Jamila, the daughter, was Muslima. So Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed the law and told Sayyidina Ali radiallahu an, La tajtami'u bintu nabiyyillah wa bintu aduwillah. It can't happen that you have in your nikah one time the daughter of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the daughter of the enemy of Allah. So Sayyidina Ali accepted it. So once all parties accept it, then you, like in this day, this age, we will recommend you sign, you have everything in writing, husband, wife, you sign it, you have two witnesses, so there's no argument in future and so forth. So this can be done whilst the nikah, the marriage ceremony is taking place, or it could be done even after the nikah is, you understand, performed, when both parties agree to it. And if he, the husband, takes a second wife, then you, the wife, you will have the right of tafwizut talaq. What is the meaning of tafwizut talaq? You will have the right to issue talaq to yourself. Whatever agreement you made, one talaq, two talaq, three talaq, 1, 2, 3 divorce, so that is permissible in Islam. Go to the majlis website and you will find they have a ready-made document called tafweezut talaq. If you look at the word tafweez, it's used in the Quran Sharif in chapter 40, verse 44. وَأُفَوِّدُ أَمْرِي إِلَى اللَّهِ. Ya Allah, my matters, my affairs, I'm handing all of it to you. Ya Allah, you take care of my enemies, my detractors, and all these people who are jealous, Ya Allah. So may sump deta hu apna kam aapku, Ya Allah. So that is ufawwidu amri. So you, the husband, you agree to delegate the talaq to your wife as well. If you are going to get a second wife, or you commit adultery, or you go on drugs and alcohol, Allah forbid. So these type of conditions will be permissible, but it must be agreed upon mutually by both parties and amicably, and in this day, this age, have everything in writing and signed by witnesses and the parties, husband, wife, so there is no commotion and rows and ructions in future.
Mufti Sahib, please advise, what is the ruling for Hanafis for breastfeeding duration? 2 years or 2.5 years?
Almighty Allah Jalla Wala informs us in the Noble Quran, وَفِصَالُهُ فِي عَامَيْنِ, that the breastfeeding period is 2 lunar years. And this is enshrined in the Noble Quran. And therefore the Shafi'is, the Malikis, the Hanbalis, and Sahibain, Imam Abu Hanifa's two greatest students, they say 2 years, 2 lunar years is the cut-off period. You can't be breastfeeding after that. Surah Luqman, chapter 31, verse number 14. But Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, you know, is a genius. Therefore Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah said that an-nasu iyalun li Abi Hanifa fil fiqh, that we are the children of Imam Abu Hanifa in fiqh. So he said that Imam Abu Hanifa only, he said no, you can go up to 30 months, that is 2.5 years as well. Now you can't make a dalil or say something, you understand, a statement without the dalil. Just say something and you don't have proof and so forth. So he's a big person, great scholar and jurist. So he says that Surah 46, verse 15, وَحَمْلُهُ وَفِصَالُهُ ثَلَاثُونَ شَهْرًا. He uses that verse and he says, Allah Ta'ala says ثَلَاثُونَ شَهْرًا, which means that you can go up to 30 months as well. So he said, it doesn't happen automatically. It happened to me. I know my mother, Allah Ta'ala granted Jannat al-Firdaus al-A'la. She used to tell me, you were very chaglo, you were very spoiled. You would not leave, you understand? You want the milk every day. So I went over 2 years, 2.5 years, and Allah alone knows how long. So you must remember, in a case like that, so the baby wants the milk. So you can't say now 2 years finish, and then tomorrow no milk. So this will be a great period, you see that? So that extra 6 months, so you try and wean him off or wean her off and so forth. So that is the verdict of Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, based on Surah 46 and verse number 15. However, we must remember the fatwa is on 2 years, but if you go on to 2.5 years, then there will be no sin upon you according to the Hanafi school. So that is the meaning of Imam Abu Hanifa's verdict.
Mufti Sahib, after many tawafs, my feet are sore. Can we use clean sandals for tawaf?
Yes, because you are not performing Umrah. So instead of sandals and so forth, you're just making tawaf. So instead of using sandals and shoes and what have you, although it's very clean, brand new and so forth, here there are three issues. Issue number one, man tawafa bil bayti khamsina marra, whoever made 50 tawaf. It don't mean 50 one way. One person asked me during the week from Makkah, he sent a message that you mean we must make 50 tawaf one way? I said, brother, if you're going to make 50 tawaf one way, it'll be your janazah just now. It means in your trip, in your journey there, so you make 50 tawaf, so 350 times you go around the Baytullah. You're staying there for 5 days, 10 days, so you work it out every day, how many tawaf you can perform and so forth. If you perform the 50 tawaf, hadith in Tirmidhi, خرج yukhraja min dhunubihi kayawmin waladatu ummuhu. You will come out of your vices and sins like the day your biological mother gave birth to you. So you say your feet are paining, your soles are paining, S-O-L-E-S, and so forth. So why you don't just wear socks? And you're not in ihram, so you just for tawaf. Why you don't wear the leather socks? And in that way there, so you don't show disrespect. To wear sandals and shoes, even if it is new, even if it is park and clean, still Allah Ta'ala taught us a lesson. Oh you, Nabi Musa alayhi salatu salam, faqla'na alayk, innaka bilwadil muqaddasi tuha. In chapter 20, Surah Taha, Allah Jalla wa'ala taught us, hey Musa alayhi salatu salam, you are in this holy and sacred place, the valley, and now you got your shoes, your sandals on, so remove it, O Nabi Musa alayhi salatu salam. Chapter 20, verse number 12, so that will be the solution to the problem. Wear socks or wear the leather socks just to perform your tawaf, and inshallah, when you're in your hotel room, take olive oil, read Surah Fatiha 7 times, blow on that olive oil, and then massage your feet and so forth. Or you are there with your wife, she can massage it, her feet are paining, you massage her feet. And Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam hadith in Bukhari Sharif, if you read Surah Fatiha 7 times and blow on the person who's ill and sick, Allah will give him or her shifa. And the hadith mentioned on the authority of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu in Bukhari Sharif regarding olive oil, with teen, with zaytun, Allah took an oath on the figs. Almighty Allah took an oath on the olives, and the olive oil also is very good. Kuluz Zayt, hadith of Mustafa, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, eat the olives, waddahinu bihi, and apply the olive oil, massage your feet, your hands, your feet, whatever pains and aches you have. Why? Fa innahu min shajaratin mubaraka, it comes from a blessed and honorable tree, so it just needs little bit rain to survive. You must remember the jutlas, the haram is stealing the trees and killing the Palestinians. Therefore we say one settler, one bullet will settle the issue forever. So the hadith is authentic in Mishkat Sharif. Olive oil is very good, brothers, sisters. Use it with the intention of sunnah and nabawiyah. We are following the teaching, preaching of the master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In kuntum tuhibbun Allah, if you really love Almighty Allah Jalla wala, fattabi'uni, follow me immaculately, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yuhbibkumullah, you become the beloved of Almighty Allah Jalla wala, wa yaghfir lakum dhunubakum, and your sins will be forgiven. Chapter 3, verse 31.
Muftisab, can you cover yourself male with anything over your ihram due to inclement weather?
Yes, sometimes in the plane they have the air cons blowing you maximum and you start feeling so cold. Or for example, Hajj time, you are there in Muzdalifah, you're sleeping there on the land and the sand and so forth. Or maybe you are ill and sick, you got fever, temperature, so it's fine. So you use a blanket, you use a shawl and so forth above your ihram, so all that will be permissible. However, for you the men, remember these laws. You can cover your toes, your feet with a blanket and so forth. You can cover your ihram with a blanket, with a big towel and so forth, and all that. You can't wear a jacket, you can't wear a jersey and all that. So the normal clothing you can't wear. But you, the man, your face and your head must be exposed. Even if you're sleeping, you can't cover your face or your head. So, ihram ur-rajuli fi ra'sihi, the ihram of the man is in his head. So, the face and the head must be open at all times.
Okay, sahab, is it permissible for a lady of about 52 years old to go for Umrah alone?
Totally haram, my sister. The Saudi government, the Saudi embassies, the agents, majority of them will tell you, just go, man, what you worrying about these Maulanas and Muftis? The government is saying it's permissible. Our aim in life Quran Kareem teaches us, Surah 9, Chapter 9, Surah Tawbah, verse 62, Wallahu wa Rasuluhu ahaqqu an yurduhu in kanu mu'mineen. Our aim must be to please Almighty Allah Jalla Wala, to please Mustafa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. People are pleased or not pleased, it doesn't bother us. That is the sign that you have through Iman and faith and conviction. Ask yourself, O Mother, or sister, you 50, 52, 55 years old, you don't have a husband to accompany you, you don't have your brother, your son, your father to go with you, you want to go alone. So what will happen? Instead of getting mathuba, instead of getting thawab and reward, the Quran uses the word mathuba. So thawab, you become mal'una, you get cursed by Almighty Allah Jalla Wala, you get cursed by Mustafa Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. On this issue, there is ijma, ittifaq, consensus among all four schools, Shafi'is, Maliki's, Hanbali's, Hanafi's, for a lady to go alone without a mahram, without a husband for umrah, totally haram and not acceptable. What the Saudis worry about? As long as they can make money and fill their coffers, that's all they're interested in. Today in Saudi, Makkah Mukarramah, Medina Munawwara, Hijaz Mubarak, Hajjaz Muqaddas and so forth, is no more yu'minuna bil ghaib, that you must believe in the unseen. Is yu'minuna bil jayb, how to fill the pockets and use Islam for commercial purposes and so forth. Yes, people confuse the issues. If it is a farz hajj, compulsory hajj upon you lady, you're not in your iddat, you're out of iddat, you know, if your husband passed away or divorced you, and you can't find a mahram, your husband can't go, he's ill, or you're not married, or whatever, then only the Shafi'is and Malikis say, for first hajj, you go, and ma'a jama'at in nisa'i thiqat, with a group of ladies that are reliable, and so forth, and so on. But for umrah, and for nafil hajj, voluntary hajj, and umrah, absolutely haram, according to all four schools. O ulama, O sheikhs, O imam, don't fear people, fear Allah and pass the correct fatwa. People today just give fatwas from there, you understand, toes and whatever. Why? To curry favor from the people, and some people will then give them money and sponsorship and so forth. All that is totally haram.
Mufti Sahib, I've opened a business, but my main trade is selling cigarettes. Is this allowed and the income halal?
Ask yourself, my brother, I'm posing to you three questions from the Quran Sharif, Sunnah Mubarakah, and you answer. Let your conscience answer. Quran Kareem teaches us, Surah 5, Surah Ma'idah, verse 2, وَتَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى. Cooperate and assist with one another in piety and righteousness. وَلَا تَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ. Do not cooperate in sin and in transgression. Is cigarette a good thing? Is vaping a good thing? Everybody will tell you, so much so the airlines, they don't allow you to smoke. In the lavatory there is a smoke detector, that is what they will tell you. But the haramis, all of them, 99% of them, they will then sell, or they will then, you must remember, can give you free of charge, that is alcohol, wine, dine and swine. So remember, that is the double standards. Alcohol is much worse than smoking, so both are haram. So that is one verse you must use. Chapter 5, verse number 2. Number 2, how much money have you spent on your smoking? Every day, 20, 30, 40, 50 cigarettes. Almighty Allah Jalla Wala teaches us, Inna al-mubadhirina kanu ikhwana shayateen. Chapter 17, verse 27, those people who squander their wealth, they have become the brothers, sisters of Satan, Shaitan, and Lucifer. What you could have done with all that money, spent it the past 20, 30, 40, 50 years, and like a smoke, you know, like a pipe piper just smoking away, and all that with your pipe in your mouth. So all haram, all these things. Mustafa Habibuna Rahmatullil Alameen sallallahu alayhi wasallam's authentic hadith, Imam Malik rahimahullah has mentioned in what time Imam Malik, la dwarara wa la dirara fil Islam. Don't cause harm to yourself. Don't cause harm to others. Don't cause harm to the environment. Allah made everything pure and clean for us. We go and pollute it and so forth and so on. So to smoke cigarettes, to buy cigarettes, to sell cigarettes, vape and all that comes in that category, haram and not permissible. Especially you can see all the dalail and evidence nowadays, how bad it is for your body, your lungs and what have you. Spiritually, how detrimental. Just now, a few minutes time, I'll go to the masjid. Hypothetically, for argument's sake, if a person stands next to me and he had a skeef, he had a cigarette, you know, people, they say skeef. So, and he stands next to me, you know how much harm he causes us. That terrible odor and smell and so forth. So you're causing harm to the malaika, the angels. You're causing harm to the muswallis. You are desecrating the sanctity of the masjid. Inna Allah nazifun yuhibbun nazafa. Inna Allah jameelun yuhibbul jamal. All these ahadith mentioned in Tirmidhi Sharif. Verily Almighty Allah is very, very clean and love cleanliness. Allah Ta'ala is very beautiful and love jamal and beauty. And when you come with that cigarette and odor, you're doing the very opposite of what Islam and Rahmatulil Alameen Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us. Not permissible.
Mufti Sahib, I want to find out, when a woman performs Far Salah alone, do they have to give iqama and then begin their salah?
Hadith Sharif, Laysa alan nisa'i adhanun wala iqama. Go open Targhib wa Tarheeb and other kitabs. Upon women, there's no adhan. Upon women, there's no iqama. So you sisters, when you read salat, you must remember that there's no iqama for you, there's no adhan for you. That woman now tuning up the adhan. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. You know, women, they love to tune it up. And so for the men also will wake up then. So you must remember, in Islam, that is not permissible, that you just read your salat individually and no adhan, no iqama.
Mufti Sahib, can we buy a car from the auction? Is it permissible?
Auction in Arabic is called Bay Umay Yazid. In Urdu, it's called Nilam. In English, we call it auction. So you go to an auction where they are selling cars. One guy says 100,000, another guy says 120, another guy says 150. You say, these guys are wasting my time. I offer 200,000. Everybody keeps quiet and they say, okay, fine. So then the car is yours, provided you're going to pay that amount. So yes, it is permissible. Willing buyer, willing seller, and it happened in time of Mustafa Habibuna Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. However, for the auction to be valid, the commodity, the item that is being sold, must be permissible. You can't have somebody going to an auction where alcohol, wine, dine and swine and all that is being auctioned, or some other haram thing and so forth. Then obviously it will be haram. But for example, vehicles, cars and all that, machinery and what have you, all permissible, no problem in that.
Mufti Sahib, it's mentioned that the ladies who go with the wheelchair to the Rauza-e Mubarak, the carpeted area, is just a white carpet, but does not fall in the hadith description of the area between the house and pulpit. See, is this true?
The hadith is authentic, mentioned in Bukhari Sharif. He, Habibuna Mustafa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ma bayna bayti wa mimbari rawdatum min riyadil jannah. The portion between my house and my pulpit is one of the gardens of Jannah. So remember, to be honest to you sisters, I know you will be disappointed. If you look at where they put that barrier of theirs, you know that white, they put that barrier. If you study it properly, it's only the ladies maybe who are right in front, the one serf or the two serfs. You are right inside Riyazul Jannah, the Jannat ka tukra. All the rest of you, you are not there inside Riyazul Jannah. So people just get fooled and deceived that no, we were on the white musallas and so forth. So my advice to you ladies, don't even try. What's the sense you're going to push so many other ladies and so forth? Rather sit at the back and read your salat. You stand there or sit there. From there you offer your salat and salam to Nabiul Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As-salat wa salamu alayka ya Rasulullah. As-salat wa salamu alayka ya Habibullah. And Allah will reward you with the optimum reward and maximum thawab, because you never cause taklif and harm to any Muslim person. So that is our advice regarding that issue. Allah protect the Haramain Sharifain, Masjidul Aqsa, and all the masajid. Barakallahu fiqh, Mausalim Kareem. InshaAllah, our brother Bonface will prepare the podcast, and then we will send it out 7 o'clock this morning, InshaAllah Aziz. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.